It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 604. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also Mike Nation Net. I want to take a moment and wish everybody a happy, safe, and prosperous new year for 2017. Myself, I know a lot of people, you can look at everything that's happening in the world and the tragedies and the deaths. And it was 2016 is a memorable, you know, you can chalk up a bad year depending on how you're looking at it. From a business perspective, it's been the best year I've ever had for my consulting company. And I hope I can continue. My clients are prospering and doing well with their businesses. And as they grow, so does my support grow. It's the first year I've had really three people, 1099, working for me. One full-time, one almost full-time, and another one, I guess, like half-time. That's been incredible. I so hope it continues. I keep putting in the right processes and the right things in place to keep my business moving forward. And I hope you have a very, very prosperous and safe and happy new year from the bottom of my heart. Tonight's show, I have some incredible stories that I think are entertaining and funny from the trenches just from the last 2 weeks. I have a stack of email, and I'm going to close with a very fitting song that everybody will recognize. With that, I want to thank Instant House Call for continuing to be a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. Instant House Call is a wonderful remote control software service where if you need to remote in and take control of a computer, whether it be unattended or on demand as needed, it works through any firewall. You can navigate. It's very easy for your client to click and install. I can't live without it. My business could not succeed. I use Instant House Call every single day, and so do my techs. And you can download it free for 15-day trial at instanthousecall.com, or just follow the link on the left-hand side of miketechshow.com. Remember, when you download the software, please use the promo code MikeTechShow. Let's start things off with a data recovery story that I'm going to share a great tip. This is my client's client. I have a client. They do the accounting work for a store in Maryland. One of the people contacted me and said, Mike, their HP all-in-one computer completely crashed and they have no backup. Here we go. Typical story. QuickBooks point of sale. Again, a point of sale system where they're not backing up anything and it completely crashes. So here's what the client does. On their way down, they know that the computer is bad. So they said, let's get a laptop for them. So they buy a laptop on the way. They get down there, they set it up, and they get them quickly set up so they can continue to take credit cards and not lose any sales. Now she takes the computer back, takes it apart. She's working on it. These are not IT people. I get the phone call, Mike, can you help us possibly recover data for their client? I said, can you bring me the drive? They said, absolutely. So they bring the drive over to me and I pop it. It's, you know, regular SATA drive, and I use my cable and I plug it into Windows No joy, nothing. Matter of fact, it wants me to format it. I'm like, no. I take it to a Windows 7 system. Because what you want to do is try multiple systems. I'm not getting anything. Well, here's how I get all of the data. And do not forget, if you're trying to do any recovery, have a Mac or a Linux system available and try the drive under those conditions. I take that USB cable, SATA to USB, I plug it into my iMac, and an icon pops up, it reads the drive. I pull 100% of their data. The QuickBooks point of sale data is readable because, remember, an iMac is really under the covers a BSD Unix environment. And Unix is more forgiving in reading drives than the Windows operating system. And I've done this a couple of times, and it has saved, you know, a client's data or anybody that brought me a drive. All is not lost if you can't read it under Windows. If you're in this business, you have to have a Mac or a Linux system nearby to try to read drives. It gives you another source. Now, I have all of that connected to my NAS on my network. So I just copied and pasted onto the NAS, took the NAS, copied it from the folder back to my Windows system, zipped it up. I have instant house call, remote control to this client. I zipped it and transferred the data to their desktop. So she was able to go back and then transfer the data to the client, or so I thought. So I'm ready to drink from the keg of victory. This was an incredible success story, right? I recovered all the data. Everything's good. When people, and this is a theme in tonight's story, people who are stepping out of their comfort zone and trying to do things that they shouldn't be doing. So for some reason, on this new laptop that was installed, my client took, who's not an IT person, they're an accountant, they took and needed to delete one of the QuickBooks databases, the temporary database. I don't know why, but they had trouble deleting it. So they followed a forum instruction to uninstall Microsoft.net. This makes no sense at all. None. This is a brand new machine. There is no reason, because Microsoft.net installs itself if it's not there for QuickBooks point of sale. After that, the system was unstable. QuickBooks was never to run again. And now I get a panic phone call the next day describing those events. I said, look, it's a new system. There's no data on it, right? You don't need anything. Take it back to the factory defaults. Just let it go back, hit the F12 key, I think it was, or F10 on the HP, select to destroy everything, go back to the factory defaults. And I never recommend that, but this was the easiest way out of the problem, or we would have went down the rabbit hole, which she did, in trying to get .NET fixed and installed again and spent hours and hours. Instead of calling me, she tried to fix it herself. People have to stop trying to do more than what they're capable of. So she gets everything back for the factory defaults, reinstalls QuickBooks from scratch, marries the data up that I recovered, and they're up and running. But it took a couple more days. They could have been up and running a lot faster. People have to know their limitations and stop trying to do more. You know, I don't change the oil on my car because I don't know how to do it right, and I don't want to. I don't do my taxes because I'm not an accountant. You need to leave to the experts for what you're working on. I know what I can't do and what I'm not capable of, and I make sure I get the proper expert lined up to solve whatever happens. And I think this was a valuable lesson for my client there, who kind of oversteps. They're trying to be helpful, And I get it. But they think it's so easy because you can just Google an answer. Well, sometimes you can. But sometimes you're reading solutions that make no sense. You have to have someone vet the solution because someone, just because you read it on the internet and they're writing to delete this and to do that, I've read such terrible answers to certain problems, as I'm sure you have too. You have to be very careful and think about what you're doing and see if you can get a consensus amongst, you know, other forums and other places. You just can't read something and do it. So at least there's a happy ending there. So let's move on to the next story, where I'm not going to reveal their profession or their name. Let's just say it's high income earner Bob. And Bob has a business, several computers. I've supplied the computers. There's Vertical Software that they have installed. They've been a client for over a year. I've supplied all of the computers. The software that they currently have, the version, cannot work with Windows 10. Can only work with Windows 7. Matter of fact, it can't even work with Windows 8. The company has since released a new version, which is kind of a major upgrade for them, that will work with Windows 10. But they're not ready yet for that. They need two computers, two new systems, because they're expanding, they're growing. They need two more computers. And so Bob asked for a quote. I provide a quote. This is a couple weeks ago, but it's too high. Now, this is a company. They're making so much money. It's like they have a room with a printing press printing the money. They are so successful right now. And he pushes back. And I have very little margin on this. I recommend two new Dell Optiplexes, nice systems, new monitor with Windows 7 Pro, with 8 gigs of RAM, Core i7, really nice computers. And I marked them up very, very little. He pushes back. Too expensive. Can we get refurb? Can we get... I'm like, yeah, we can. You're not going to have the three-year warranty. You're not... I start listing a lot of the things. He doesn't want to hear it. He's like, look, he finds two Optiplexes from somewheres on the internet. He runs the specs by me, and not all the specs. It's just like a little paragraph. And I said, yeah, I guess, you know, it could work. I said, but remember, you don't know who you're dealing with. We don't know what we're going to get. So last Thursday, not this one, the one before, this is why there was no show that night, right before Christmas, I'm scheduled to go down and install the new computers, or should I say refurbed Optiplexes. I get there, and I could see the expression on Bob's face and the expression on the office manager's face. Things aren't exactly going to go well. He said, well, Mike, do you have keyboards and mice with you? I'm like, no. She says, I don't even think we even got a power cord. They got refurb computers that no power cord, no mouse, no keyboard. They said, okay, they're not that expensive. That's okay. But now I have to drive a while to get here, and I'm scheduled to install these two. I fire up the first one because we got to steal a keyboard and mouse. I actually steal it from the server. And the monitors are fine. You know, they got two actually new monitors that they bought from Amazon. It's Windows 10. So we can't run the main software that they need. They ordered systems that came with Windows 10. The paragraph they sent me clearly stated Windows 7 Pro. I said, do we scratch this and you send them back? And he's like, boy, I really don't want to send them back and go through that effort. How about we upgrade to the new version? And right now you do everything you can, get the system set up, get Office going, get the printer drivers and the scanner and connection to the server and all that. We just won't have that main software running. We don't really need that until the beginning of the year in January, you know, mid to end of January. I said, okay, so we can upgrade to the newest version. But I said, you know, that's going to involve a lot of work. He says, I know. That's not the end of the story. Windows 10 is not activated. It was installed, but you go through the beginning and there's no activation. And when you look at the key on the one system, I was able to read the Windows 7 product key on the Dell OptiPlex and activate the system. So that was good. But on the second one, it was all scratched, the middle number. You could not read the product key. And it had the beginning install of Windows 10 to prompt you through the first initial questions. And you need a product key to activate. Because I tried to activate. It won't activate. I have to put in some kind of a key. So now he has to contact that company. And he has trouble getting a hold of them. He's spending, while I'm there, he's spending a couple hours, which he has other things to be doing for this business, and not doing this. When we're done, not quite done, Bob comes to me and says, Mike, I have learned a valuable lesson. I will never buy computers on my own ever again. I will not question you. I will trust you. You will always be the source for the computers. I didn't have to say a word. And I continued and I said, this can't happen on my watch because even if I bought them, I would know I got to go get the power cord, the keyboard, the mouse. I would get it all configured. I would beat them up for the proper key. Or if it was my fault, then I'd go buy a key and make sure it's activated and working. You don't see the sausage being made because I take care of that and hide it from you. And he sees it, he gets it, and he understands. We're still not done. The next day on Friday, he sends me an email because he's still conversing with this company. He just give me a valid key for the system that I bought. They asked him, can you remove the battery and look for the key? He emails me and says, Mike, am I correct that there is no battery to remove because that's a laptop and these are desktops, right? And I said, you are correct, sir. He's still battling. I don't think he's going to get the key and he's going to have to buy one from me and I'm going to have to get it from my source and he's going to have to spend some money to get a legitimate key for that one system. All of this, plus the thousands that he's going to have to spend for me to come down and spend a day and work with the software manufacturer and update the database to the new version and update all of the software on every single computer just to save maybe $100. If that, he didn't save anything. It's now cost him thousands in what he's going to lay out because he didn't trust my first quote. And I don't understand because this is not the first time he's bought systems from me. And he just gets it in his head or maybe he's talking to someone that is saying, oh, you can buy it cheaper. Well, yeah, you can buy it cheaper, but then look what happens. Because one of the things I do if I'm providing hardware is I'm making sure that all of this is covered and everything works. So great lesson. Bob now trusts me implicitly, and I get a lot more work. We have the upgrade scheduled for January 24th. I mean, at least he's moving in the right direction. We're on the new version, and then any other new systems can be Windows 10. In the long run, he's justified in his head that this is, it's okay. So we're keeping the ship moving in the right direction. There is a shutdown problem with one of my clients on a very nice precision Dell laptop with 32 gigs of RAM, a terabyte SSD, Core i7. This is a kick butt laptop. He's had it for a couple years and a couple months ago, it started slow shutdown, up to 5 minutes, docked and undocked. I can't tell you the countless hours I've tried on doing lots of things. So on December 23rd, my client needs to go to New York for the day, and he lets me have the laptop because we want it with the docking station, and Ken and I sit here in my office, and we're just going to do everything we can to solve this. And we are at our wits' end. I mean, we've tried everything, and it's still taking a long time to shut down. We've updated the BIOS. We've updated the drivers. We went to Dell and had it detect and update drivers. We've shut everything from starting up. Enter this person who I left a voicemail for.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
Good, we got one.
Winston Wolf is actually out of the country, attending something, gets the voicemail, and texts me back. Try this. Go to the services, and every non-Microsoft service, stop it, and then restart it. And the one that takes the longest is your culprit. Something so simple. Something so easy. I didn't read that anywhere. You can read a million things on what slows a system down. I tell you, we found the culprit. And I don't know if it was the version of Carbonite or whatever, but the three Carbonite services took forever to stop. I mean, we waited minutes and minutes and minutes for it to stop. We disabled the services, the Carbonite services. We shut down the system. We now average 10 seconds on the shutdown. I'm not kidding. Carbonite service was the culprit of stopping the system from shutting down properly. You need to look at things simply. And Ken and I were stunned on the simplicity of going through that. And we went through every service. It just takes a few minutes, but certainly far better than what we were trying on everything. And everything we did, we never did anything that could cause more harm. Updating drivers, updating the BIOS. These are all things that are all, it can't hurt. You know, it's a positive step. What a great troubleshooting tip. And I wanted to share that. Another tip, and I'm going to have this link in the show notes. If you want to compare two text files, if you want to see what services are running and you want to compare them, let's say from a safe mode startup and a normal mode, you can, at the command line, pipe the tasks to a file. Now you got two files. If you want to compare, what is the best way to compare? I learned something about the free program Notepad++ that now I can never go back. And if you're a coder, I guess you get it and you already knew this, that it's an incredible tool for writing code and for doing things that I'm just not used to doing. But Notepad++, I didn't realize had plugins. There's a compare plugin. It's unbelievable to compare two files. You just load them both, run the plugin, and it compares and it highlights and shows you the differences between the two files. And you can see which services are running from the safe mode and which service is running in normal mode, so you could see which one stopped, which one started. That was another thing we were trying in the part of diagnosing this slow shutdown. I wanted to share that because there's great plugins that I never realized for Notepad++. Nice tool. You definitely want to take a look at that and download it. They are my stories for tonight. Let's get to the email. This is from Ben. Have you or Winston ever performed an in-place upgrade migration from Windows Server 2008 R2 to Windows Server 2012 R2? I haven't reached out to Winston on this one yet, Ben. I've never done a server in-place upgrade. I would want to back up the data, back up everything I can, and I like doing a clean install. I have never done an in-place upgrade of a server. If so, any issues post-upgrade or concerns or problems with the process, I don't trust it. That's why I don't do it. I have an HP ProLiant M350P with a P420i controller with the OS on RAID 1 and data on RAID 10. It appears that all the drivers are included in 2012 R2. I'd like to take advantage of 2012 R2 direct access features for remote access to domain network resources, such as file shares. From what I can tell, 2008 R2 direct access is quite different, quite the effort to implement, and might need additional edge routing for IPv6 to IPv4 translation, whereas 2012 is a lot simpler, or so I've read. I'm almost caught up to the podcast, only three behind at the moment. Congrats on show 600. Wow. I've been a listener since episode one. Ben, I know I have never done an in-place upgrade, so I'm putting this out there has anyone done an in-place upgrade of a server going from 2008 R2 to 2012? I'd like to hear it. Are there any gotchas or any things? Ben, how are you backing up the system? How comfortable do you feel on the reliability of that backup? Now, if you're using Shadow Protect and you got an image of that, oh, that's awesome. Then I would say go ahead and try it. You have nothing to lose if you can recover everything and put it back to exactly the way it is. Have a complete image backup. Get a Cronus, Shadow Protect, anything that will work with Server 2008. Do a full image backup. Then go through with the upgrade. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, put the image back. That's what I recommend, not knowing because I've never did it. I've just never performed that in place. I don't like doing operating system in place upgrades, even on desktops. I never liked doing the 7 to 10, but I did it anyway for clients. And, you know, you're always going to have some kind of an issue. It's never going to be perfect. Renaming folder problems. I need to share, and it just made me think of something here. We had a client where they were having trouble renaming folders that were on the Synology that partakes in the Active Directory domain. We solved it by editing a group, local group policy on the workstations. I'm going to share that article. My son, when he was on site, applied this and it absolutely solved the problem. So if you're having trouble with occasionally renaming folders, we have the solution. And I got to remember to put that in. This is from Robert, Windows Activation. You were talking about the Dell that you installed Windows 10 on and it automatically activated. You said it had a Windows 8 sticker on it with no product key. The reason it activated, could it be there is a Windows 8 product key in the BIOS and Windows 10 will see it and the Windows 8 key and activate it? And that's exactly what happened with that system. Thank you, Robert. This is same Robert, an issue with Malware Bytes 3. I've been a longtime listener to the show and I truly appreciate the work you do so very much. I've been using Malware Bytes since they offered the lifetime licenses. After installing Malware Bytes on all three of my computers, I get a pop-up at least 5 to 6 times a day on the three computers, and this is version 3, telling me that the real-time protection has been disabled and to turn it on. When I check Malware Bytes, it says the real-time protection is still enabled. It's a false error. And even as I continue with this email and his follow-ups, even on newer versions of Malware Bytes, this is still an issue. It's not an issue to stop using Malware Bytes, but it's something to be aware of. I sent an email to Malware Bytes and they told me to download and run the Malware Bytes removal tool and reinstall. I've already tried that and it did not work. The last email message I received wanting me to go into the settings and let him know what the component package information is. I'm still waiting for a response back. Have you or do you know anyone else who has had this problem? Yes, almost all of my clients have experienced this problem with 3.0. You also mentioned about a Dell computer that Windows 10 auto-activated when you installed it. Did the installation ask for the problem? And he also leads to the, because Windows 8, the product keys built into the BIOS that auto-activate it. Thanks for the tip on turning off fast startup for computers having the problems with the Wi-Fi in Windows 10. I had one come in with the Wi-Fi issues. I tried your tip and it worked. Great show as always. Keep up the good work. He follows up. I just want to give you a quick follow-up on the issue I was having with Malware Bytes real-time protection pop-up in my system tray. In an email from Malware Bytes support, they just released Malware Bytes 3.0.5. This one I had installed was 3.0.4. I got it from the following link, and he has the download link. He told me to uninstall the old version first, then install the new version. I did that, then reactivated my product key, and so far, I have not had any pop-ups. I want to give a shout-out to Malware Bytes support for helping me solve the problem quickly. Thanks a bunch, Mike, and have a very Merry Christmas and happy and prosperous New Year. Rob, thank you so much for that follow-up. Malware Bytes, they do have excellent support, and it's great to hear that they followed up. And he's correct. I have fixed it on several clients where I've uninstalled the old version, installed the new version, and it does fix it. It's a pain, but that does fix it on most of them. I have two systems where that did not work. So I still am not sure that's the 100% fix for this issue. You get this little annoying pop-up saying that Real Protection's off. And it's not. It really is on, and it's a false error. I believe Malwarebytes will absolutely finally resolve this. This is from Kenny. Listening to show 603, and speaking of WSUS offline updater, that is what I have found to work for me with these millions of updates. I also tell Windows to ask me later during the install, go into services and ensure updates are set to manual. I then open my WSUS updater off my USB and set it to auto restart and let the program run. This is not enough and not sure why. Once the program had finished, I found I have to run WSUS again in the same fashion, auto start and reboot. And all of a sudden, it is installing more updates the second time around. Then I go back to services and set updates to run as recommended by Microsoft and found I had about 70 more updates to install, but I also was not running the latest update of WSUS, too lazy to update it. I never have a problem now, once I discovered this procedure, having to run the program twice, but Windows finds updates and installs as intended quickly, no more waiting for days or finding a fix. This has worked for me for the last six times. Thanks for the great show, Kenny. Kenny, thank you. This is from David. Happy holidays. Oh, I watch every live Ustream show and never have trouble with video and audio. And for the longest while, I would follow the Ustream chat with the show. However, the last couple of months, the chat screen would never start up. I tried using MIRC to view the chat, and that's exactly what I'm using right now. And I could never figure out how to use it. Could you make up a PDF or doc with the login credentials and method to use MIRC to view the channel's chat? Dave, and he's actually, I think he's in the chat. I seen him earlier. Dave, I absolutely will create a PDF for how to configure third-party IRC chat programs. That's a great idea. I will put that together and link it. This is Cormac. Hey, Mike, I was on to you a few weeks ago about a lady who paid to download Windows 10 on her Windows 8 all-in-one HP Envoy. It bricked the computer. We tried everything, no joy. So we done this fix we found online. We documented it all. This is how we've done it. It's now running Windows 10. The fact it's running is amazing. HP, they were no help. I would never buy HP again. Many thanks for all your help this year. Happy New Year's from Ireland. Cormac has an 18-page document on how they repaired this. I would never have the patience to go through this. You really have patience to go through this. It is unbelievable. I'm going to ask him if I can have permission to post it up just so you can take a look at what he did. Chris, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. You might have talked about this before, but just in case, I was wondering how other tech support organizations are managing cloud storage services in an Active Directory domain environment. I have two managed services clients who want to leverage Dropbox Pro in the environment, and I am trying to pull together the pluses and minuses of leveraging both on-premise file server and cloud environment using Dropbox Pro. How are others managing this environment? What is the best practice? Can it even be done? It can, and I'm going to give you a couple solutions that I'm using. Right now, I have some Synology NASs in an Active Directory environment that's sort of their own cloud. And one client, I actually replicate the one NAS to the owner's house for replicating that data so they don't lose anything. That's one way. Another way is using the sync services of Vault America. I have that with three clients where their peer server or their main server is syncing continuously to the cloud. And then you buy the cloud accounts and they can go in. And one of the things, they're FINRA compliant. So you can't just pick any cloud storage. You definitely want to look at, are you in an industry or do you have any compliance issues that you must follow? And then you can pick the right solution. I'd love to hear back what you're doing. I also think that Amazon Web Services could come into play and participate in the authentication using your Active Directory domain credentials with cloud storage solutions under Amazon Web Services. I haven't been doing that, but that's another possible solution to look at. I think Microsoft even has one. Azure, I have not used. That's another one. I would love to hear back from everybody. I think this is a great topic. Let me know what you're doing. I'm also going to talk to Winston and a couple other IT professionals and see what they're doing with their clients. And we'll come up with a show to dive down deeper into that topic. Great question, Chris. Before we play some music for closing out the show, I want to thank everybody for using my Amazon link. Finishing up the month of December on the small commission I get from your purchases using my link, this was the biggest month of the entire year. And it's all because of you using my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small portion comes back to support the show. That is tremendous. That's the best way to show your support. Share that link, abuse it, use it. And I want to thank you so much for your continued use of that throughout the whole year and now on to the new year. I thought long and hard as to what song would appropriately wrap up 2016. And I picked this song, which was made famous and written by Leonard Cohen, who died a few months ago. And this is Jeff Buckley singing this song, which you will recognize. And it's one of the better versions that I found. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
There was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember when I moved in you and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
That was Jeff Buckley, and I hope you enjoyed that song. I want to take a moment again and thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show and following me in the chat and your great feedback, your voicemails, your email, supporting my sponsors and affiliates, Instant House Call, Tech Site Builder, I'll have a link, Computer Business Kit by Bryce Whitty, which is fabulous, Fab's Auto Backup. I'll have all my affiliate links in this final show for 2016. May we be blessed to be able to go on for another year for 2017. And I want to thank everybody. I hope a lot of you will remain in the chat for the post show as we ring in the new year. We say goodbye to 2016. And I want everybody to have a happy, safe, and prosperous 2017. See you next year. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.